We're going to continue on with our study in 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with the 13th verse. It says, "This is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord from the dead will raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is searching more and more, that is reaching more and more people, may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise that we don't have to wonder about your will, but you have revealed it to us in your word. Lord, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to a full and complete understanding of your word this morning. Lord, that as we read this and as we hear it and as we experience it, Father, that you would cause us to have an understanding that is beyond human wisdom, but an understanding that comes through the empowerments and the enablements of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for myself that as I preach this morning that your anointing would be upon me, that as I speak, I might speak your truth and power, and that your people might be encouraged and blessed, and that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified, that no man would in any way take any of your glory, but instead, Lord, the glory would go to you. Father, that each of your people would be drawn closer to you, and Lord, those who do not yet know you might come to a better understanding of you and might receive you as their Lord and Savior. Father, be present here in our midst this morning. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, this morning as I was going through this, I came up with some great ideas and some things I wanted to do, but it was too late to do them, so I'm not going to. I wanted to make some slideshows, and then, I don't have time to do that, so then I was going to get out a big flip chart, and I couldn't find any of those, and then I was looking for a whiteboard, and I couldn't find a whiteboard, so I kind of like, okay, things were coming together this morning, so we're going to do it. I'm going to paint a picture with words this morning, and hopefully, instead of drawing out what I had in mind, which is probably a good idea because I'm much better with words than I am with a pen, so that tells you just tear out that I am with a pen, as far as drawing goes. As we read this scripture this morning, it starts off with, "It is written." We've got God's word. It's our basis, our starting point. It's written. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to go on a search to find it. It's written. We've got it. Got God's word right here. It says it's written. And we're told this is what's written. It says, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." This is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about his faith. "I believed." And because he believed, out of that belief had to flow, and did flow, his testimony, because I believed I've spoken. If we believe, we have to testify to the glory of God. Somehow. Truly, if belief in Jesus as Lord and Savior, if belief in eternity is something that is truly ours, we have to testify. We have to speak. It's not an option. It's something that's natural. If I light a candle, it has to give light. If I put flame to it, doesn't it? A candle that doesn't give light is not lit. And if we don't have belief, we're not candles that are lit. Again, building off of last week's text, and again, you need to remember to take the whole Word of God in context, and it's talking about this. And the source of that light is the Holy Spirit in us. And if I believe, then the Holy Spirit comes upon me. And if I really have the Holy Spirit in me, then I am going to live my life in such a way that it is a testimony. I am going to speak. My life itself is going to be speaking of God's glory. This is what Paul is telling them. From the point of his belief, his testimony flows naturally. It has to. And from his testimony, he brings encouragement and blessing to us, both to those who know him as Lord and Savior already, who know Jesus, and those who don't. Because those who don't know him hear the testimony and can be brought to faith, and those who have faith are encouraged and blessed. He's testifying about what he believes. That Jesus was raised from the dead. That through the price he paid on the cross, we're forgiven of our sins. And that resurrection to eternity is something which is there for everybody. And when I tell you about that, are you not encouraged? Nobody's encouraged here? You ought to be. You better be. Truly. We have to be encouraged. Because Jesus is light. If I'm in the dark and somebody turns on the light, am I in the dark anymore? No. Now I can try to pretend I'm in the dark. I can close my eyes, cover my eyes. I can even put on a blindfold and hide from the light. But when the light has been brought in, really all I need to do to be encouraged, to be able to see, is to open my eyes. To hear, to see that which is told. Now, because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. You see, our testimony about Jesus and him being in our lives and the work that he did on the cross, about the gospel message, it's when I talk about that, when I testify in word and when I testify in deed, it's for the benefit of you. It's for the benefit of those whom I come in contact with. And it's to God's glory. And you, when you testify, you benefit all those around you. And you glorify God. People, this is good stuff. And the testimony, where does it come from? It comes from belief. From belief, we're just not talking intellectual assent here, but we're talking something that lives in our heart and our gut, in how we live. If I believed right now that this building was on fire, I would leave. Because my belief would bring with it action. If I didn't believe, I would stay here until the fire came. Now then, at that point, I can either believe the fire, or I can say, nope, 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 not going to believe it. Now eventually I might succumb and die, or I might just say, okay, I'm going to believe it now and leave. But really, when I have real belief, the belief that they're talking about here, action is going to come out of it. This is the belief. See, the demons believe that Jesus is Lord, but they're not saved. But the belief that causes us to turn to the Father, turn away from sin, it's called repentance. You see, when we follow sin and we stumble, and we go, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, and then we continue on our way in the same direction, that's not repentance. That's just, well, I wish the consequences of that sin hadn't fallen upon me, but now I'm going to continue on in my sin anyways. Repentance is where we come into sin and we have the sin shown to us, and we say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. And we turn away from the sin and say, Lord, let me come to you instead. That's repentance. And that's what belief brings. And that brings with it the testimony. Because if I've changed direction in my life, people are going to see it. If I've had a life that was going off in this direction and everybody saw and knew, hey, you know, Bruce does this and this is what he's doing and, you know, that's him. And then one day they look and they say, see Bruce going off in this other direction. They say, Bruce has changed. He's doing something different. That's a testimony. Even if I don't say it with words, but hopefully I will say it with words. I'll say why I'm doing what I'm doing to God's glory. And then we get this circular graph going. I got it drawn out on a little piece of paper here. We have our belief, which goes to our testimony, which goes to the benefit of others, which goes to encouragement, which helps us to believe more, which brings back to our testimony. Get this self-feeding cycle. And through all that, we got shooting out of that, going straight up, glory to God. And also shooting out of it, coming off, is the impact and encouragement to others. It was a really neat graphic, but I didn't create it. You really would have loved it. It's just awesome. But here we have it. God has created us a life cycle. Or not a life cycle. That's one of the things you write on to get healthier, isn't it? No, what he's done here is created a whole system, one which is complete. It's self-perpetuating, self-encouraging, because the Holy Spirit is what's powering it inside. Because belief is bringing the testimony. The benefit brings encouragement. The encouragement strengthens belief in the testimony, which just kind of goes round and round. And this is where we're supposed to be going. And this is what Paul says he's doing. And he says, this is what's happening. Even though it looks like I'm having troubles in my life, that's just temporary stuff. See, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. You gotta remember, Paul had a tough life at this point. He'd been shipwrecked, he'd been stoned a couple of times, left for dead, been beaten. You know, 40 strokes, less one. That's 39. But They do that 40 less one because 40 was considered to be capital punishment. It was considered to be a death sentence. That, you know, if you get the 40 strokes, you're going to die from your wounds. So we're just going to hit you 39 times instead. Oh, joy. But this was Paul. And his body wasn't in such good shape anymore. His life, he had issues. He was getting older. He had problems. I was just reading something the other day about Patrick Swayze. Okay, the man's got cancer and he's battling that. But he's also, throughout his life, he abused his body terribly. Playing football, breaking bones, martial arts, gymnastics, doing all these things, doing his own stunts in movies. And now, he's not that old, okay? I believe he's about my age. Maybe just a little. Maybe a couple years older than me, but not much. Patrick Swayze's body's beat up, in tough shape. He's suffering from cancer, and he's feeling the effects. Those of you who are getting older, you say, body doesn't work quite as well as it used to. Okay? Now, I'm not old. I'm 47. I'm going to be 48. I'm like, a bunch of you go, you're a baby! Well, 18 years ago, I was in a motorcycle accident, shattered this leg. 10 years later, I ruptured a disc in my back. I had to have back surgery. I've had to have 7 surgeries because of that one accident. And my body doesn't work as well as it used to, and I've got aches and pains that come with it. You know, this knee's not so great, and this one, the leg is now short, and then the back disc ruptured in the back, and now I've got, the nerve down this leg is, sciatic nerve is a little short, and so the leg always feels like it's too short, like the rubber band's tight in there. And, so my good leg's now my bad leg, and my bad leg's my good leg, and, it's like, well, how'd that happen? The body's falling apart. And you know what? And I could focus on that, and I could talk about just how terrible my life is, and how my body's, I just can't get up as easily in the morning. I sit in my chair, and I go to get up, and I can't walk right away. My ankles hurt, and there's pain, and it takes a little bit to get a little flexibility back. And now that could be my focus. I could go on and on and on. I could tell you all about my aches and pains. Oh. And some of us have heard those aches and pains stories. Some of us tell those aches and pains stories. But Paul's saying, that's not my focus. That's not what's important. See, even though that's going on, I don't care. For we're being renewed day by day, inwardly. You have the outward body, it's like, it's falling apart, but no big deal. How can I have that attitude that my body is falling apart and it's no big deal? How can I have the attitude that inwardly I'm being renewed when everybody looks at me and sees that, no, Bruce, you're in worse shape than you used to be. You're older, you're fatter, you're not as flexible, you limp more, you don't run the 100 anywhere near as fast. I mean, when you're doing the 100-yard dash in minutes, that's just not a good sign. But Paul's going on here and he's saying, but yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day for our light and momentary troubles. He's calling about being stoned to death. I mean, everybody thought he was dead. I believe that the Holy Spirit resurrected the man. And they left him for dead anyways. Beaten. He's calling these momentary troubles. Light. I don't call being beaten light. I don't call being left for dead light in my normal everyday conversation, do you? Yet this is what Paul's referring to. They're light in comparison, though, to something else. They're momentary in comparison to something else. And what he's comparing it to is God's glory. What he's comparing it to is what is the reality of the resurrection. You see, because of the belief that we're going to be resurrected, I don't really care about this body. This is just a seed. It's going to be planted. I'm going to get a new one. Hallelujah. I should be getting more than one or two amens off that. Everybody who got an aching bone here ought to be saying, amen, hallelujah. Why is that coming? Because of what Jesus did for us. See what's going on right now? This is temporary, short term. Now, how long is eternity? Long. Okay, it's almost as long as your message, Pastor. Almost. Eternity is like from here to like infinity and beyond. Yes, I'm Buzz Lightyear. No. Right now, the time, if we were to draw a timeline and I was to put a dot, no matter, I couldn't make the dot small enough to accurately represent just how short now is in comparison to eternity. Even if it's one atom, in comparison to the timeline of eternity, it's too big. But this is all we know right now, so we think it's a big deal. Kind of like the guppy in the fish bowl thinks that, you know, hey, I'm the biggest fish in the bowl. Yep. Then you put the guppy in next to the whale and he says, well, maybe I'm not so big. Well, it's even bigger than that. The differences are humongous. Our light and momentary troubles. See, we get so worried about today, now, we forget that this is fleeting. Okay? This is just preparation for eternity. And if all I'm going to focus on is what's going on right now, I'm going to miss what's going to happen with eternity. Anybody ever miss a bus? Isn't that a bummer? And then you miss the bus, and it's like, oh man, wouldn't you just hate to miss the bus for eternity? Because you're so busy worried about right now that you miss the bus. It's like, and if I miss the bus, then I miss where the bus is taking me, and work or school or wherever it was going. I'm like, oh man. Well, that's where Paul's going with this. See, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that is far outweighs them all. See, that eternal glory outweighs all the possible problems we could be having. Paul says, what's going on to me right now? Doesn't matter. Well, why isn't he getting all upset about it? Because his eyes aren't fixed upon the problems. His eyes are fixed on the solution. His eyes are fixed on eternity. He's seeing that which is unseen. Well, how can you see something which is unseen? Anybody? Spiritual eyes. It's spiritual. We have to look not at the temporary, but at what is eternal, and that we need to see with our spiritual eyes. Say, okay, Pastor, now you're weirding me out. What's a spiritual eye look like? Well, it looks like your eyes you got for all intents and purposes. Basically, it's through the opening of that, through the Holy Spirit being within you. And it's the Holy Spirit looking out through your eyes. And you will see with those spiritual eyes. And we can see that which is unseen. What is unseen? God. But yet we can see God's hand move all around us. Anybody here ever see God? Saw him with spiritual eyes. But anybody ever see God that's God. Let me shake your hand. Not so much. What we do see, though, when we look around us, is we see the hand of God has moved here and there. And we can see God moving and doing things. And we see what He's done. And sometimes He reveals to us and allows us to see clearly the spiritual world. If we're looking for it. If I'm focused on this, and trust me, if I'm reading a book, I'm focused on it. Ask my wife. She comes in, this and that, and I'll ask her where she was, and I haven't seen you all day. Well, you were reading, Bruce. When I'm reading, I am checked out, I am gone, I don't know. I mean, you could set off an atom bomb next to me, I wouldn't notice. Okay, exaggeration. It's called literary license here. But here we are. If I'm focusing on something at the problem, if I'm focusing on this life, if my focus is on the troubles of the world, I'm not going to be seeing God. But yet, if I look up and I focus on God and the solution to my problems, I'm not going to stumble and fall in today's troubles. He's going to carry me through. He carried Paul through. Now, granted, not without a few bumps and bruises, but He carried him through with a testimony of God's presence and hand throughout. And Paul saying, you know, this is all okay because I'm focusing on eternity. Now, how many of you don't know about the difference? Are you willing to take a penny today or a dollar today? If I give you a penny today and I'll double it every day for 30 days, or should I just give you $30? Which would you rather take? Give me the penny. Give me a penny today and double it tomorrow and double it every day for 30 days. Thank you very much. By the time you're done with that, you're receiving several million dollars. This is what God is offering us with eternity. We get a taste of it today. We know, no, thank you very much. I'll wait for tomorrow to wait for you to double it. But I'll give you $2 today. Nope. Give me my 2 pennies. Because tomorrow I'm going to get 4 pennies. The day after that I'm going to get 8 pennies. And they say, well, that doesn't sound like much. Well, no, but by the time I get up to day 25, and I've doubled it every day, now we're talking some serious, serious money. And all of a sudden that $30. I'll give you $30 today, or a penny each today and double it every day. All of a sudden, the difference between the two is the one that looked big at the beginning is now nothing. And that's where we are with the problems of the world. What looks big today in the focus of eternity is nothing. Yeah, well, it bothers me today. Well, yeah, I'm sure it does. But if your focus is on today, you're going to have trouble getting through it. But if your focus is on eternity, God will carry you through it. Anybody here drive a car? Where do you focus? Do you focus immediately on the ground 2 inches in front of the car when you drive? If you did, you would crash a lot, particularly at 65 miles an hour down the freeway. Didn't see that car in front of me. Didn't see the turn. But instead you looked ahead. Same principle, except even more so. We're talking about the things of eternity. We need to be looking at that which is unseen. Now I'm going to go once more to talk about Emmett's funeral and Emmett's passing. And on that Monday morning, as we were with Emmett as he passed, Emmett opened his eyes and we saw him looking at things unseen. I saw him look at his family. I saw him look at Donna and I. But I saw him look at Elaine. I saw him look at Carolyn. I saw him look at Sharon. He looked at them. And then he looked beyond them. He looked at that which was unseen. And he went with peace to be with the Lord. His focus and his ultimate attention was not on that which is here, but is on that which is eternity. Now he went to be with the Father for eternity, ahead of us who are yet here. But because he went there, we can go to be there too. Not because we can be with him later, because he went there ahead of us, not because he opened the way. Jesus did that. I don't want to get my theology all messed up here. But Emmett got there before us. Because he's there, one day we can and will see him again. Why? Because his ultimate focus was that which was on eternal. As he indeed wasted away, as my own father wasted away, when the time came to pass, they went to be with the Lord. They were ready. They weren't caring, really didn't, weren't so much concerned with now, because now is temporary and it's fleeting. They were more concerned with eternity. And that really needs to be our heart and our attitude. Because that will carry us through, and that will be a testimony to those around us as they see, how can you get through the turmoil of today? Well, one, I've got the Holy Spirit within me. Two, I'm not worried about this body for this day. In the end, I'm worried about eternity and just making sure that I'm walking with the Father, so that I'm bringing glory to His name, so that as many people as possible might also know Him as Lord and Savior. And when this day is over, and I'm with the Father for eternity, today's not going to matter anymore. The fleeting troubles, the light burdens of today will be gone. And in its place will be the blessing. In its place will be our new body and being in the work eternal that the Lord has for us, whatever that might be. But this, don't be focusing on this. Focus on the Lord. Focus on that which is eternal. What is our focus? What is your focus? Are you focusing on today? Or are you focusing on tomorrow? Or are you focusing on eternity? I believe the Lord's Word here is instructing us that we need to be focused on eternity. And that is the best way for us to encourage one another and to bring others into the kingdom and to ensure that that's where we go. See, if I look at where I'm going, I'm much more likely to get there than if I'm looking at where I've been. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. Lord, we do pray right now that you would help us to apply this to our lives this day. Lord, that each person would be encouraged and blessed. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see that which is eternal. That you would give us attitudes that would recognize that what happens on this earth is fleeting and light. And what is of real weight and of real importance is that which is of eternity. The things of eternity are that which we really need to give our attention to. So Lord, might we give you our attention. Might we focus our eyes on you, Lord. Might we follow you. May we follow you to the Father for all of eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.